We all want to be happier, but how do we get there? First, we start by realizing happiness is not a destination. Being happy consists of micro action steps every single day. I'm your host, Brittany King, and I'm here to guide you along the way.
All right. Hello, my friends, and welcome back to the Positively Real podcast. I'm your host and coach, Brittany King, and I have a very special guest with me today. I'm so excited for this interview. I have Erin Leder-Pariser on the show with me, and Erin is a wellness expert and founder of STAT, which stands for Sports Travel Adventure Therapy, and she's been designing women's adventure journeys that empower women to push beyond their physical boundaries, bond with ancient rituals, give back to all the corners of the world that they visit, and learn more about themselves than they've ever imagined. In her new book, Get Lost, it blends the wisdom and personal insights that she's received from hiking, biking, climbing through the most breathtaking landscapes and the once-of-a-lifetime tales of the drama in the wild. And not only that, Erin happens to be one of my best friend's mother-in-law. So I've been doing this series on my podcast of doing a book review, and I received this book and I was like, what better to do a book review than with the author herself. So I am so excited. Thank you for making the time to be on the podcast, Erin.
Oh, thanks, Brittany. It's a pleasure to be here. I love what you're doing. I love your platform. I love that you're reaching all corners of the world, of your world.
Yeah, it's fun because even before we hit record, I was saying how Jess has always told me how much we have in common, especially with empowering women and community. And so much of the themes throughout your book resonated with me on just a deep personal level. So I was like, yes, this conversation needs to happen. So I'm really excited to dive into Get Lost. There's so many different things about it that I love. I'm also very big into travel. Some of the places that you visited, I have also visited. So it's just like felt very aligned. So let's start the beginning, because one of the lines in your book that I knew as soon as I started reading, I was like, oh, we are on the same page, because I say this too. But you said like, my career found me. And I love that, because I've always said that. Like, I just have followed the breadcrumbs into my, like, all these different areas of my life, which has brought me into coaching. And it did. It wasn't like I set out to do it. It literally found me. And I think that's what happens when you align with your calling. So let's start there. How did your career find you?
Well, you know, 30 some odd years ago, I was an exercise physiologist, which is private trainer, was a fancy word for private trainer. And it was a Jane Fonda world, you know, and I practiced Jane Fonda method, and I was practicing it with, you know, myself and all these other people that are in these 80s craze, exercise craze. And I had no idea that that was going to be my career. And it was. And I followed it and listened. And I opened a studio in New York, and I taught exercise classes. And I went to the Hamptons, taught exercise classes. And it just snowballed from there. And it was just, okay, this is what I'm doing now. Until I wasn't.
I know how that goes. We love a good pivot.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's, I'm sure I was like, I would have 100% been into that Jane Fonda. I feel like I was into Jane Fonda. Like when
you probably were.
I loved step aerobics. I also into fitness too. My sister's a yoga instructor. And so I kind of just like looked to her for, you know, what she was doing. And I loved that path that she was on. But I love step aerobics, which led me, you know, I ended up teaching spin, and it was the same thing. I didn't set out to teach spin. It just happened, just kept following those breadcrumbs. So then when did that stop? So then what happened after you?
I had kids. I had two little boys.
Yeah.
And we lived in the city, and my husband decided that we had to move out of the city because we had two little boys and he didn't really want to bring up kids in the city. And so it was either move out of the city or get divorced. So now I'm almost married 40 years. So that sort of, you know, I could have done it then, but we didn't. And so we moved out of the city and it took me out of my comfort zone. I'm from Miami. I had no idea what suburbs were like outside of New York City, but I learned quickly and I made a couple friends, but I decided that I couldn't really commute into the city having two little boys. Mm-hmm. So I had to sort of take it on the road. I approached my clients and said, what do you think if we do like a hiking trip in Wyoming? And they were like, that sounds interesting. And maybe I'll bring a friend and maybe I'll bring a friend and maybe I'll bring a friend. And all of a sudden we had like 12 people going to Wyoming on a hiking trip and it was really successful. And when we got back, everyone said, when are we going to do that again? I said, oh, that's interesting. I'll plan another one. We'll go to Sedona. And at that time, it was the 80s, and Sedona was a hotbed of new age modalities. So I decided that, okay, we'll do that. And we'll also do like a sweat lodge, and we'll also hire shamans, and we'll also camp out in this sacred land, and we'll have this bonding ceremonial talking stick ceremony, which I created after going on a quest of my own. And so I brought it to the group and it was another really successful trip. And one of the girls on that trip was a friend of a friend, and she was an entrepreneur. And said to me after the trip, she called me like 7 times after the trip. And she said, you have to do this. You have to do women's trips. This was amazing. The bonding that took place and and I'm saying, I have two little kids. I think they were like 4 and 7. And I said, I can't do this. I have kids and I can't go traveling around the world. And sure enough, she really mentored me. Actually, she's from Arizona.
It was Christina, right? Carlino?
That's Christina, right. Yeah. She's in the book. I gave her a really big shout out in the book. And I don't think that she knew how much she inspired me. Really, like when you have a mentor that inspired you that much and they don't know, I'm going to encourage your listeners to tell them. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody in your life that changed your life or changed the direction of your life or trajectory of your life in any way, tell them because they may not even know. And she offered all of her services to me and said, I'll print up your brochures. I'll help you figure all this out. And and I said, oh my God, thank you so much. That's so generous. And so I took her up on it. And and that was before internet, of course. So I had to write up all my brochures by hand and send them out in the mail. I mean, it was absurd. I still have them all and I read them and it's just, the world has changed so much. It's amazing.
I can only imagine. And how amazing that it was able to that it's, one of those types of business that really is word of mouth, like how much traction that you can build without it having access to the internet and really just having it be something that you share. And the experiences from what I read in the book, they kind of just speak for themselves. Like anyone that goes on it are just going to be talking about it. Yeah, I remember reading that in the book, Christina Carlino and Crazy Connection, because she's friends with my husband's dad, my father-in-law. I was like reading it. I go, Brian, you're never going to believe this. I was like, Christina had a huge role in getting Aaron's business launched. And
isn't
so
that weird? Oh my God.
Isn't that crazy? I sent my father-in-law he asked for like the pages of it. So I sent him screenshot of parts of your book because he found that he thought that was so cool too. But having someone, you know, this is something that I do in my business. A lot of times people come to me and they have an idea, and being able to like see it in someone before they see it in themselves is truly the best gift you can give that person. It's like, you know, you can see it from a different angle than the person that's just like in it. And it's just such a catalyst into the world that does change your trajectory. And it just, you know, everything is always in divine timing, I believe. And so there's no coincidence that she came on one of the very early trips to Sedona, nonetheless. So a very spiritual place, lots of great, crazy energy there, that she came at the beginning stages and was able to see it in you. And, you know, fast forward 30 years, here you are. So that's incredible. And I love, you know, as a mom of a very young toddler and, you know, in that in between of where do I go with my business and I want to be a mom. And there's just kind of, it's kind of confusing and your identity is kind of confused during those early stages of motherhood. It's amazing that you were able to find something that you were able to still be a mom and do something that was fulfilling and in alignment.
Yeah. Well, it was challenging.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
I am right in the middle of that right now. Yeah. And it's not, I mean, of course, when you get to the other side, you can look back and reflect on it. But as someone that's currently in that of trying to balance, and as my daughter gets older, it's been a lot harder to try to keep that separation. So it's definitely not easy.
Yeah.
So it's incredible that you are still able to make these plans, plan these trips. And not only that, it's just like you're curating these experiences for women to step out of their comfort zone. Like the places that you've gone, whether it's been in the United States or abroad, everyone had a common theme. And obviously there was so much intentionality behind your trip planning. And as I'm sure there will be forever, but not forever, but like, as long as you have the business,
forever is a long time.
As long as the business exists, like, it's like you plan these trips with that in mind. It's like, how can we get out of our comfort zone? Because that is really where we learn the most about ourself. So, you know, you outline, the book is called Get Lost, You Lose Yourself to Find Yourself, which I love that. And you share these 7 principles. And I know that they all play a very important part into your philosophy, but could you share one that you find the most transformative for people that are looking to get outside their comfort zone?
Well, I have 7 for a reason, and they work together. But if I had to choose one, if you really had to choose one, I would choose to love, honor, and obey your intuition. Because really that led to writing this book. It was a bright sunny day in Aspen, Colorado, and I had just taken my favorite King yoga class, and I was feeling quite good, really relaxed, energized, open. And I came home and my husband said, let's go take a run. It's so gorgeous out. Let's go skate, blah, blah, blah. I said, you know, I'm really feeling great. I don't think so. Not today. And he said, oh, come on. It's gorgeous out. We'll just go out for an hour or two. And I didn't listen to my intuition that said to me, you are feeling so good and relaxed and you should just take a walk with the dog. And I went out skiing that day, and sure enough, on the first run, I hit a bump and I hurt myself. I fractured my tibial plateau, and it was January 2020. And I had to take the gondola down. And the next day it blew up, and I went to the emergency room, and sure enough, I was out. I was down for 8 weeks. And it really threw me out of my comfort zone. It just put me in a tailspin because I thrive on ritual and routine and exercise. And I just like lost it. I was lost. I really was. And I didn't listen to that little inner voice. And then COVID hit. In, you know, 8 weeks later, I was down for 8 weeks. And then 8 weeks later, COVID hits. And now I'm really grounded. So this led to writing this book. Because I said, when I can't get out there, I have to get in there. So I buckled down and I said, I'm going to write about all these experiences I had with all these wild and crazy women. And see where that takes me. So if I had to pick one principle that changed the direction of my life, that would be it. Is just listen to that inner voice. And even if you, and I didn't listen to the inner voice, and look what happened. I have something productive to show for it.
Well, that inner voice is like, well, here I am again. So what are we going to do with this? Because it's like you didn't listen to the first nudge. And I loved reading that because I relate so much. Like I thrive off of routine and ritual, and movement is my medicine. And so when that's taken away from me, it can make you feel really like lost because it's something that really connects you with yourself. But I think being able to turn that around and turn that into an opportunity to create this book, which is essentially a love letter, right? Like you have,
it is a love letter.
You're writing it to the women that you've adventured with, the places that you've gone, the impact that you've made, because one of my favorite chapters was the give back aspect of you going to these places and then being able to give back to them and then inspiring the women on your trip to like that feel so connected to this place that they would have never gone to. And then they're doing a give back. It's just, you know, that interconnectedness is so powerful. So that's a beautiful, you know, turning something that would be looked upon as negative into such a positive thing by writing this book and sharing these stories. You know, you kind of touched on this, you know, and this is like, maybe it's on one of your adventures, getting lost literally or metaphorically led to this new direction. Would you say that that experience of getting injured while skiing was one of those moments where you did get lost, which led you
I was lost. I was really lost. I really didn't know what to do with myself. I cried. It was actually the first time I really hurt myself in my life. And, you know, I'm 65 and that's a good track record, you know,
it's a pretty good track record.
That's a pretty good track record. I would say,
I would agree with that.
So, you know, it was debilitating and I really felt sorry for myself and, I wasn't really good at it. People would call me and say, how are you doing? I'm not so good. I'm really not so good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had a pity party, but something good came out of it. So there you go. Something good always comes out of, you know, absolutely, something that you never expected. And that's the silver lining.
Absolutely. And just being open to that, because there is always something that can bloom out of it. That's why I love the lotus flower, because it's the only flower that blooms in mud. And it's that reminder that like you trust, like it will, something beautiful can grow from something that's not so beautiful. So
that's beautiful. Yeah.
Manifesting intentions. You know, you talk about this a lot, and this again was something that resonated with me of just even in your women's circles on the trip. You said on the second night, you would have people bring something from home to represent what they want to manifest. And that's a part of their intention. And I love that ritual to bring
That's what differentiates my trips from other trips that you can take with, say, Butterfield and Robinson, Backroads. I mean, nowadays you can go everywhere in the world with groups of people. And, you know, 30 years ago you couldn't. And I had a little bit of a niche. And being that it was women only was another niche. So I decided to ask some, you know, like when you sign up for my trips, I ask you to think about something in your life that you're manifesting and bring something from home that represents that. And the second night that we're together, we have a ceremonial, you know, talking stick ceremony, and we go around the circle and we hold the stick and we tie on what we brought and we talk about it. And I encourage people to be as deep as they want to be or as shallow as they want to be. You know, there's no judgment, there's no pressure. And, you know, if your intention is to lose 5 pounds, that's okay with me. Mm-hmm. It's not easy and there's no judgment, but people really share their deepest of intentions. And I really find there's a lot of tears. And I find that when you say things out loud in the universe, it makes it real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we all have fears. We all have fears, big and small. But when you talk about them, they don't seem as big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it really bonds the group together and it becomes magic.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about it for the rest of the trip and it elicits meaningful conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing to incorporate just, you know, in anything that you do, like just like talking about your desires and your intentions with people that are like-minded. And we don't do it that a lot. You know, it's like, I think being able to, for specifically women, they don't talk about their desires out loud. They don't talk about mm-hmm. what they want. And so when you do, it now exists outside of you, which is really vulnerable and can feel a little scary. And so you're creating such a safe container for women to share and express their desires, which is incredible. And it's really powerful because when women do that, they start to realize how similar we actually are. We come from mm-hmm. so many different backgrounds, so many different mm-hmm. life circumstances. But then at the end of the day, at our core, you hear someone share and you're like, me too, or I resonate with that. And there is something that happens, because when I lead groups like this, it happens every single time. There is something powerful, and you really can't put words to it, of that me too connection. And all of a mm-hmm. sudden, two people that don't really know each other all of a sudden feel connected on a deeper level. And that's a really beautiful thing that you have created on your trip. So I would say that definitely is what makes your trips stand out from the other adventure travel. Cause I know these aren't quite retreats. These are more like, these are like athletic trips, like based off of everything that I read, it's like, they're strenuous, they're long days, they're trying all different things. So it definitely has something very unique and specific about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they're challenging. They're very challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They sound amazing.
Some are more challenging than others.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have to be careful of, you know, who is up for the challenge, because they are, you know, they really are. Like, you know, Nepal was getting from one place to the next, and it was basically walking for mm-hmm. 10 hours a day
mm-hmm.
and, no rush, but you have to get from one place to the next. So you really can't, you know.
I did a Nepal trip. And so when I read that, I think I went to that same, like, what was the place that you, what's it called? It's, I feel like it's called like
Gokhari.
Yeah.
Gokhari.
Yeah.
You probably did. If you didn't go to Everest,
didn't.
You took that left turn and went to Gokhari.
Yeah. And it's like you get that, you wake up super early so you can see the sunrise.
And
it's freezing.
Yeah.
Those little Arizona
blood.
All
of us did that, actually. All of us did that.
Okay.
Like only my superstars.
Yeah.
Got like up it, early.
To and, get and see the and, sunrise.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are long days. And also, like, it is kind of rolling the dice in a way, because you really do have to, like, it only takes one person that is not in that right mind space to infect the rest of the group. And so, like, it's pretty impressive. I mean, I read, you know, we can get into the story if you want, but of all the travel, and maybe there's other stories that you didn't share in the book, but it sounds like you only really had one trip where the vibe wasn't right, or at least for the one you share, which is very impressive. So I also, I believe in, you know, energy attracts like energy. So it kind of like filters in those people that are up for the challenge. Yeah. But that's really impressive. I mean, you're doing this for a while, and if there's only one trip where the vibe wasn't right, like that's pretty amazing.
Well, you know, well, this was one trip that the vibe really wasn't right.
So there was like other ones where the vibe wasn't quite there, but this
they're not all love fest, but
yeah,
but they're supposed to be a little bit of, you know, give back, right?
Yeah,
you know, just totally. A little bit of, but the one that you're talking about that I wrote about in the book was really just terrible. And that was again, an intuition, principle, because I just put this group together and it was like, okay, so you're a friend of a friend. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
And I didn't really get that vibe right because there was just so many strong personalities.
Yeah.
And it was just something had to give. And the universe told me on when we got robbed at that little place outside of Santa Fe, when we went to dinner and I would come back and our rooms are ransacked and they take, like, you know, cameras. And this was when people actually, you know, brought cameras, not iPhones.
Yeah. So it's like more valuable stuff.
Yeah. And I just said to, you know, I just said out loud, I said, what happened here? Like, what did I do wrong? And the only thing I can come up with, cause you know, you play the blame game, you know, I was like, okay, this is my fault. What did I do? You know,
right.
Maybe I didn't give the bellman a big enough tip or, you know, that was, and so I just really paid attention from that point on. And I really tried to get the vibe right and the chemistry right of every group and really gave it my attention from that point on. I mean, sometimes, you know, like, you know, it's funny because some of those people on that trip, and this was a long time ago, they still cycle in and out of my trips. So it didn't deter them.
They still got what they needed to get out of it. And sometimes, you know, like those experiences even are longer lasting memories because.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it wasn't a deal breaker. I mean, they realized it wasn't, you know, it wasn't my fault.
Right. Right.
It was something I just couldn't control. And
right. And there's a lot of that when it comes to planning trips. I mean, any sort of travel, I mean, there's so many uncontrollables. And so I'm sure there's been a big lesson just for you, something that you get out of planning and facilitating these experiences is that letting go and trusting, like letting go of the control and trusting that it's all going to work out as it's supposed to.
Mm. Well, it's one of my principles is, you know, you make the effort, you have to ask for grace.
Yeah.
And so when I plan these trips, I make all the efforts. I dot all my I's, I cross all my T's. I make sure, you know, everything's in order, all the guides and the lodges and the plane and the transportation and this and that. And then I get on the plane and I just ask for grace.
Yeah.
I said, you know, you did everything you can. Now give me the good weather.
Like you literally just have to toss it up. It's just, right? It's, you know, true, or else
just
you would,
like,
wouldn't be able to enjoy it if you were like trying to control the weather and sure that there is a level of just trust and surrender on those types of trips, which, you know, with that other principle of obey and listen to your intuition really play into that. It's so important.
Yeah.
So one of the like little subtitles is Lessons from Kick-Ass Women's Adventures. So the book is really about that. Can you share one of your favorite inspiring transformational stories or lessons from the adventures that you've been on that kind of touches upon that courage to step into the unknown? Yeah. Okay.
Would you mind? And, you know, my clients have shared some of their transformational stories with me for the book. And so I have their permission to share it with you. And I would love to just, you know, read you just a little bit of, I shortened it
That's
because
perfect.
it's a story of transformation with, for one of my clients. We went on a, one of my travelers, her name is Julie, experienced a deeply personal kind of success during a trip along the ancient Camino Trail, a pilgrimage, if you will. We hiked the Portuguese Camino, where we joined walkers, hikers, and even horseback riders, heading north along the Atlantic coast, just like Queen Isabel did in the 1300s. This particular walk through terraced fields, lush forests, plenty of vineyards, and peaceful villages represented everything STAT is about, a sacred bonding journey. Walking for nearly 14 miles together, all day, every day, was the ultimate bonding experience. We shared our stories while still taking time alone to reflect on ourselves. This client came with a heart full of hope for her son, who would soon be released from prison. He suffered from addiction since his teen years after he was prescribed painkillers after getting his wisdom teeth removed. Percocet led to Oxy, which then led to heroin. A painful, familiar story we have all seen and heard. The worst of it all was having to have your son arrested for stealing and then have to testify against him in court. After 3.5 years in prison, he began to heal. And then her mother died. So she came on the trip to heal, gather her strength, and become grounded with women she hoped would be along a spiritual path. At the end of the world, as they call it in Finisterre, she sprinkled her mother's ashes and prayed for her son to come back clean and sober, while also sending healing vibes to a friend suffering from cancer. And it all came to fruition. She claims that they were all her miracle. I just love this story about miracles and success, because there's room for everyone in this world and for all the winners. So, you know, it's just, it's a beautiful transformational story. And she is such a beautiful person.
Wow. That is such an inspiring, just like her coming on that trip with like so much.
Yes.
On her heart and what she's carrying.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And how healing it is to be in a different place, to get out of her comfort zone and really be able to connect within herself is the best gift that you can give someone, to be able to hold that space for them to have that own experience is something that I'm sure she will remember for the rest of her life.
No, and she had, you know, she had taken her mother's ashes and sprinkled them everywhere, and then the bells would ring and she would say, "Oh, mom," you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like so much peace probably came from that trip.
Yeah. No, I was so, you know, I was so thrilled to give her that opportunity.
Yeah. That's incredible. Really,
yeah.
And like, I'm sure, you know, how like, imagine like so fulfilling to hear those stories and to be able to know that you were a part in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Incredible. So do you, you know, so do you stay in, you said you still stay in touch with many of the women that you have traveled
oh,
with?
Oh yes. Yeah.
These are like lifelong,
you know,
friends.
Lifelong friends. I actually create lifelong friendships. I put people together in, you know, everyone has a roommate. I find that that's just, you know, it's just so nice to have a roommate. And I put people together that they don't know each other and they become absolutely best friends.
Yeah.
And it's just so satisfying to me to hear the stories.
I couldn't,
you know,
agree
it's,
more.
It's wonderful. I'm one of those people that love to have gatherings, and I love when my friends are friends with each other. Do you know, I love introducing people and say, oh, and so, you know, like I never get FOMO, like, oh, you know, you can friend jump me.
You can leave me out of it.
You can friend jump me. It's okay. I'm not sensitive like that. As long as you guys are friends, I love that. You
yeah.
know, because I know I put that. It together.
Yeah, there is such that. So that's funny. It's probably another reason why Jess said we had so much in common, because I am the same way. I find so much joy in bringing people together. Like, I'm also a connector where I'm like, these two people should be friends. And like, nothing makes me happier than having a gathering and like bringing people together and then them connecting and doing things together. And so when I was hosting retreats, that was my favorite part, was doing the roommates, because I would know some of the people I would know well, some of them I wouldn't, and placing people together based off of what I know about them. And then same with the dinner table, we would print place tags and specifically put like different people, especially people that came together, they'd be at different tables. And like, we would do that very intentionally. And I loved that. We'd have conversation cards to really like just go deep. And the friendships and the connections that are made in that way, like, is so satisfying. I feel that on such a deep level. Like, I rather just like connect people than even like me have the deep connection with those people. I'm like, you guys, like, you have some common themes here. So I think you would really get along. So I relate to that. So it's funny.
Cause yeah, even at dinner parties, I mean, even when I have dinner parties, I take a lot of time with the seating arrangements.
Yeah.
And I always like, you know, have different groups of people that I'll invite. And I say, oh, you know, that husband would probably like to talk to her. And she would like to probably talk to that husband. So I sort of, you know, it's
curate
really,
it.
Yeah. You have to curate it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows when you come to my house, you're not going to be sitting next to your husband.
I'm pretty sure we did have a dinner like for Spencer, because Spencer and Brian have the same birthday. And I'm pretty sure I think you did that when we had dinner for Spencer's birthday.
Probably.
Yeah. That's so funny. Okay. So something, you know, I'm sure people listening are like yearning for adventure. You know, like now more than ever, people are wanting to get out of their routine. They want to go experience more of the world, but they feel confined by their daily responsibilities. So how do you suggest integrating the spirit of adventure and willingness to get lost just into everyday life?
Go take a walk. Wherever you live, just get out of your house and go take a walk, and don't go on the same path that you go on every day. Go a different way. I mean, listen, you know, I live in New York City, and I just go all through the streets of the West Village, Soho. I'll take hours of a walk and I'll just listen, and I'll just keep my eyes open. And I usually walk alone, but it's wonderful if you have a friend to have meaningful conversation with. But that's really just getting outside and just taking a walk is somewhere where you could start. And as far as like adventure, if you can, you know, organize a weekend trip with your tribe. Take a couple friends and organize somewhere where it's close by, where you can have adventure without taking a plane or, you know, leaving. I mean, it's hard leaving your kids at home, and, you know, you have daily responsibilities. So start off small. My biggest hope for this book is to inspire people to find their tribe and, you know, plan trips with their people. You know, this wasn't an advertisement to go on a stat trip because, you know, it's really about finding your people.
Yeah. And so let's talk about the role of community, right? So in your travels and experiences, how has the sense of community among the women played a huge role in setting these intentions, manifesting, but also just the journey of self-discovery?
Well, one of my principles, of course, of Trekking Life with Grace is embracing your community. It's the last, it's the last one, and it is probably the most important in terms of having a fulfilling, meaningful life with people. And we just have so much loneliness in this world, so much suicide in this world. And I really feel that if you embrace your community, you will be a happier person. You really will. and sharing your personal vulnerabilities, your intentions with your community is transforming. You know, it will transform your life.
Yeah.
It really will. And everybody got a whiff of that during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I
for
mean,
sure.
We all were in this together.
Mm-hmm.
We were all embracing our community. We needed help.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we needed the hospitals. I mean, I felt like when I went to go get my vaccine, when I went to New York and I went to the Javits Center, and all these people were lined up and it was so organized, and you get in that line and you get in that line. I felt like I belonged to this community here in New York. Wow. They were really doing their jobs to protect us. And I embraced everybody here in New York, my neighbors, my store owners. I mean, you had to. I mean, even my dog walking community, when I was laid up and I couldn't even walk my dog, I mean, I relied on my dog walkers to come and walk them. And they were there for me.
Yeah.
They were there. And it's really important to have a community you can count on.
Yeah, I mean, social connection and community is one of the pillars of health.
Absolutely.
It is. You could be doing all of the other things, but in isolation, and you won't be as healthy as you are when you are around your people. And, you know, it's interesting because they study all the blue zones and like, what are the common themes? And some of it's like the hills and the food, but the number one thread in all of the blue zones is community.
And not just family. You
no,
know?
Not just family.
Right, right.
It's friends. Yeah. It's that's what creates longevity, is the people that you surround yourself with. And I love that. That was, again, another thing that resonated so deeply, because that's something that I have been creating and building since I started my business, because, you know, we have this, one of our basic human needs is belonging. And for most of my life, I was just trying to fit in, because that was survival. It's like, how do I fit in? How do I fit in? And I didn't really know who I was in most of my early days of, you know, when I was in college in my early 20s. And it wasn't
Who did?
Right. No one. Right. I was like trying, I'm like, what's cool? Who am I?
Right,
like,
right.
And then, you know, you get to this point, or at least for me, I got to a point of like, I'm like, I don't even know who I am. And so really working on figuring out who I was by the connections that I was making and how I felt when I was with those people is really how I began this place of belonging within myself, which then has led me to building community, because it's so important. Anytime I'm feeling like disconnected, especially having my own business, working alone, like I need my people. Like I need to reach out to my people and make sure, you know, like see how they're doing and connect in that way. And it always just gives you it, like the feeling you get, it's indescribable, truly, when you are connected with the community and finding your people, because there are so many people in the world and not every community is for everyone. And so once you really do find your tribe, you just like, you love them hard. You hold on to them because it's very special to make those connections.
Now you want to fit out.
Right. Totally. Oh, I'm like, I'm an apple amongst oranges. Like it's just funny, because since I have found and like really found myself, I have always been so different. Just, I go against the grain with so many things. And it took me a while to embrace that. But then the more I embraced that, the more people I met that were also doing that. And were also.
Of course. Of course.
Too. Yeah. Like it just felt, it feels so good. It feels like coming home. It truly does. So we've touched on some of the principles. I'd love for you to share all of them, because like you said, they all play into each other, and you know, they apply not only to travel, but just to life. So let's go through the rest of them.
Sure. Of course. Well, the first one is nix the competition. And that's important, because I see it all the time. And it doesn't matter if you're in the front of the line of the hike, in the back of the line of the hike, in the middle, doesn't matter. We're all going to reach the destination, and there's no competition. And it's nice. I mean, you know, you can walk as fast as you can, slow. You could be a hare, you could be a rabbit, you could be a turtle. Doesn't matter. My second one is these are wisdom that I've gathered, is walk with integrity. And as the saying goes, integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one's watching. And that's the key. And I find that I, you know, I'm just watching these travelers and these women over the years, and how we all strive to walk with integrity. Now it's really important. My next one is no judgment. I'm not a judgmental person, but judging another doesn't define them, but it defines you. So you don't know where people are in their life. You don't know where they sit, where they come from, what traumas they're carrying. And it's not acceptable to judge anybody. My next one is start with effort, finish by grace, which is what I went through before about how I plan a trip and how you walk through life. You have to make the effort in life in order to ask for grace.
Right.
So you don't get to ask for grace unless you make the effort. And everybody has to make an effort. I have to make an effort to be a good wife. I have to make an effort to be a good mom. I have to make an effort to be a good sister, a good friend, a good role model. And, you know, and now I have to make an effort to be a good grandparent. my next one, which I really didn't share yet, but it's mark your words. It's so funny because every day I have a meditation practice, and I encourage your listeners to incorporate a meditation practice. It's very important in terms of just, you know, having your equilibrium. So I have these words, and I call them my power words because I meditate on them every day, and they're sort of, I pull them up from my root chakra, and I bring it up to my head, and it's clarity, consciousness, equilibrium, effort, grace, intention, integrity, and love. And I carry them wherever I go. And when I'm feeling stressed, anxious, I just recite them, you know, internally, and they calm me down. So they become my power words.
I love that.
So,
like they're your anchor.
They're my anchor. You know, I don't know how, but I just accumulated them over the years, and they've just become my words. And my next one is love, honor, and obey your intuition, which we already went through, which is important. And the most important one, and the last one, is embrace your community. And this is all wisdom that I've just gathered over 30 years of life and doing these trips with women, and how I carry myself, how I want to walk through life. And it's, they really work.
I think that just, you know, having principles, it's just a way to come back to that intentionality of like, how do I want to show up for my life? And anytime you kind of get lost or you feel misaligned, to have something like this that you can come back to really does help you stay in alignment. And I know, you know, it's kind of similar to having your values be so present in your life. Like when something feels off, you go back there. What's missing? What's out of alignment? And how do I get back into alignment? And having something like this so clear is incredibly powerful. So
yeah,
I'm curious, you know, we talked a lot about intentions and manifesting, and maybe someone that's listening might be new or wants to manifest, and there's a lot of confusion around how manifesting works. Where would you tell them to begin? Like, what's a simple thing that they can do daily to help them?
Meditate.
Yeah, I know. That's so funny. And so you talked about transcendental meditation in the book. And
yes.
I also did TM and I felt the same way. I felt like I did it so well and it was easier to do, obviously, before having a child.
Yeah.
Morning time got that down, but the middle of the afternoon was tough. And I felt the same way of like, not like feeling like a failure, but being like, oh, like I couldn't get to it. And then if I do it at night, I'd fall asleep. So I'm like, well, that's not really working for me either. So I really found the same way with my meditation practice, instead of it being so rigid, be like, I can do TM, great. But if not, putting on, I use this app called Open, which I love. Putting on Open, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever, how much time I have, also is great. So I love that you said manifesting or meditating or manifesting. Cause when I read that, I was like, I completely relate to that.
I actually use an app called Waking Up.
Yeah,
it's with Sam Harris.
I'd
love your listeners to look him up.
I'll put that in the show notes.
He's wonderful. And someone else I like is Tara Brach.
I love her.
Yeah. She's got a beautiful voice and beautiful.
She does.
You know, that's just somewhere to begin, you know, and Sam Harris just gives you the tools and the real inner workings of consciousness.
Yeah. Very tactical.
And it's helpful because sometimes all your thoughts are still with you. You're not failing. You can't fail at meditation.
No,
there's no such thing. And it's okay to have thoughts and it's okay to welcome them and say, hey, you know, you're here, but you know, I'm going to let you go and I'm going to come back. So it's important not to be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's the lesson in life. You know, you're doing your best. We're all doing our best.
Totally.
So, I mean, to manifest your deepest desires, I think you have to be really still and you have to be quiet because they're not going to come it's noisy. So you have to get above the noise. And the only way I know how to get above the noise is to meditate. So that's my only answer to that.
Yeah. Like where to start. It's a great starting place. I agree.
Yeah.
Where people think that they're going to find what they want outside of themselves or constantly doing. And truly it comes from being still enough and creating that space within yourself to make those connections. Cause that's where your intuition is. Our intuition is not going to be the loud voice. It's a very soft whisper and it's really easy to miss it without making the time to connect with it. So I love that answer. So before we wrap up, are there any, I know you said, you know, you do two trips a year. Are there any new adventures or projects that you're excited about?
Well, besides my two new grandchildren.
No, your grandbabies.
besides that.
Which is a whole different adventure.
It's just a whole different dimension in life. I mean, I had no idea that this would be happening. I'm going to continue to offer these beautiful adventures for my clients. But we're going to do it once in a while when I, you know, have a place where I need to go to.
Yeah.
And so in November, I have a trip going to the Azores, which is in Portugal. And it is called the Hawaii of Europe.
Wow.
And I'm looking forward to that. It's already, you know, full and I'm excited about it.
How do you pick that? How do you just do a lot of research? Or
I do. I'm always doing research. I'm always in all travel sites and, you know, a lot of these things, a lot of the places that I pick are off the radar. So,
which
you know, it's the only way I like to travel. I want to go to places that people don't hear about. But when we go, then you start hearing about it. So they're off the beaten track now until they're not.
Until they're not.
Like the Azores are going to be like
the next
where
spot.
Everyone's going to go.
That's awesome.
I try to discover it just a little before everybody else does.
Yeah. I love that. approach because it's, I always say it's like before Instagram got a hold of it.
Yeah.
The internet, like I remember when we went on our honeymoon, we went, like we spent a week at Amalfi Coast and we spent one day in Positano and it was so overwhelming. It was crazy busy. And we chose Ravello because that was off the beaten path from the most popular area. But I just remember I was like, Instagram, like total, like you were just sitting on the beach watching people just like take pictures with the backdrop. And like, that was all that they were doing. And then they would leave. And I was like, what is going on? And I was like, so it's great for the travel industry, but
of course
it's great for the spots, but it definitely can change an experience. So, yeah, that's awesome. Well, Erin, this was so fun. Thank you so much for your time and sharing your wisdom from your trips and your adventures and the women that you have shared these experiences with. The last question I like to ask before we wrap up is, if I asked your friends and your family what your superpower is, what would they say?
My superpower. Wow. My superpower. I guess my superpower would be the art of gathering. Mm-hmm. Do you know? I really feel like I have the ability to really gather incredible, diverse crowds in my life, you know, just, and yeah, I put people together that you would never think that would be together.
Yeah.
And then the magic happens. So I think that could be one of my powers, maybe not my superpower, but
I mean, based off of everything we've talked about and the book, I would definitely agree with that. Is there any last things you want to share before we wrap up?
Well, I would love to encourage your listeners to, you know, look back in their life and take stock. It's such a good exercise for you to do in terms of like moving forward. Mm-hmm. And it's just so cathartic. And just look at where your life took you and look where you came from. And then it's a celebration, you know, because life it's not about where you are. It's about where you've been. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just one of those things where I encourage your listeners to do that. And I find that they're going to be in a celebratory mood.
I love that so much because it is so true. We're so focused on the future and what's next. And even when we hit a milestone that we once prayed would happen, we don't spend enough time there celebrating it, being like, this is something that I prayed for. This is something that I wish for, and now I have it. And then it's on to the next thing. So I love that. And so I think that, you know, something I share in my podcast often is tangible action steps. And that's a beautiful journal exercise, and the celebratory and to pause and celebrate how far you've come is so important, because all of those future or past experiences is really what creates your future and can change the trajectory of your future. Well, that was so fun. I will make sure I link the book in the show notes, the other resources that you mentioned as well. Thank you again for your time. This was such a blast.
And you can buy the book at my website.
The website? Okay, I'll put the website.
And you can also buy it on Amazon or, you know, Barnes & Noble or wherever you get your books.
Awesome.
And if your listeners want to contact me, just shoot me an email. I'm happy to have a meaningful conversation. And I'm happy to send a signed copy, anyone who wants it.
Awesome. I will make sure I put, so email is the best way to connect with you?
Sure.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brittany. You're doing the best.
Thank you.